Hello, and welcome in episode 417 of Girls Beer Sports, a conversation with girls about beer and sports and whatever else, because it's our show and we do what we want. I'm Carrie, coming to you from Stanley Manor Studios. To my right is Sarah.
Hello.
And not a lot of people know this about her, but her mother was a mutter. It's so true.
Nice.
It's Lauren.
Yes, it is me.
Yes, her mother was a mutter.
Mother was a mutter.
Yes, I was trying to think up an intro for you. I've been trying to think up one for the last couple of days, and I couldn't come up with anything. And I'm sitting there this morning, and I'm like thinking, okay, Keeneland started horses, yep. Jockeys. Thinking about it, and I'm like, Seinfeld.
Yeah,
because that's the reference is Seinfeld, where Kramer is on the part of the episode where Kramer's on the subway and he overhears those two guys talking about the horse race, and he's like, he loves the slop. His mother was a mutter. His mother was a mutter.
I think yes. I do remember that.
Yeah,
kind of
and then he bets. He goes yes. and he plays and he yeah. wins big or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like a lot of scenes at like the little window, like the betting window.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 So that's where that came from.
Nice.
In case you're wondering, but yes, Keeneland did start on Friday. It's very exciting for a lot of people.
Yeah. A lot of people.
Yeah. Very
seemed
quickly.
Like there was a good turnout.
Yes.
We were attempting to drive down that way
yes.
to leave town for spring break, and
yeah.
it was. Quite busy
mm-hmm.
down there.
Yes, it was. Yeah, a lot of people going out there, and then a lot of people who had been out there all day occupying restaurants afterwards.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
Oh, were you trying to go to dinner?
No, not necessarily, but I can tell you that that just is kind of the tradition where you go to Keeneland mm-hmm. and then you go out afterwards, which you probably shouldn't, but you know, then
yeah.
here we are.
Mm-hmm.
I would also like to point out that consumption rag is on the table.
Yes.
And that Lauren isn't channeling Barb today necessarily,
no.
but you are channeling your inner ASMR/NPR.
Yes, I've got my dulcet tones on in an effort to keep my voice from cracking.
Yes.
So you can just, you know, imagine some like pleasant clicking or something, you know. There you go. Does that do anything for you? But yeah, so I'm going to be a little quiet.
Do those videos do anything for you all
no.
at all?
They annoy me, actually. Like, why is this person going, clickety, clickety, clickety. Oh, I'm going to touch this now. Oh, let me ring this little bell. And let me talk like this. No, they freak me out, if we're being honest. That's creepy. Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's really weird. I mean, I guess I can see why like certain noises like are pleasant for some people, like keyboard clicking. I think a nice clicky keyboard, that's a good sound. There are good sounds, but I don't want to just like sit there and listen to pleasant sounds.
No, an hour
online.
Of that, I feel like I would feel the opposite of pleasant.
Yeah.
I would feel angry. Like I was going out of my mind.
Yeah.
Filled with rage.
Yes. Would be terrible.
Yeah, I just I guess I kind of get the clicking and that kind of thing, because some, those can be like
or
relaxing
like
sounds, right?
People reading things and whispering
yeah.
voices.
But what I don't get is the eating ones.
Oh, those are weird.
Right?
My niece actually kind of enjoys the eating ones.
Really?
Yeah.
And, you know, Sarah
she's of that generation, though, I think. That
yeah.
Yeah, that those Gen Zers, I think, are far more into that than us Gen X and millennials.
Right. Yeah, because Sarah and I are big, you know, we've said before that we're big fans of some, like, people who do eating challenges on you, like Beard Meets mm-hmm. Food and some of those other people. But I think
just to listen to someone smack their lips
yeah.
makes me want that makes my skin crawl in a bad way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's there's a reason you chew with your mouth closed, right?
Yes.
I mean, nobody wants to see or hear that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do though. I find the like I guess maybe if I didn't see the visual it would be less creepy, but when you see the visual of like a woman clicking her fingernails
or fumbling yeah. some plastic toy,
gross.
It's mm. and because I have like I do look up a bunch of like kids toys or mm-hmm. like arts and crafts lessons and things online, my social medias will often try to feed me images mm. of ladies opening toys.
Weird.
And so I'm like, oh, is this like some sort of thing that I would actually care about? And I'm like, oh no, it's just one of these creepy things where they're gonna like unbox a Polly Pocket and whisper really weird while they do it.
Yeah, that's bizarre. But you know what? The internet is a very strange place.
It is.
I don't get half of what's out there, and I don't want to know the other half that's out there. So, I'm just going to leave it at that.
There's something out there for everyone. This is true.
I much prefer you with like a more of an NPR voice than an ASMR voice. Like I'm getting real Terry Gross vibes.
Oh,
and that
thank
makes
you.
Me happy. I enjoy fresh air every now and then.
I listen to some NPR occasionally.
Yeah. It's like a Tina Fey's character in Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of even like Saturday Night Live. Anna Gasteyer and who is it? Rachel Dratch, maybe. And
yes.
They do their NPR voices. Oh, the one when they did Betty White and the Dusty Muffins.
And Sweaty Balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a dusty muffin. It's just no moisture left inside. It must be moist and
yeah.
I can't remember the rest, but it's a good one.
I like I do like NPR, the NPR better than the ASMR. But either way, that's where we are.
That's where we are today.
Anyway, yeah. Well, and we survived the storms.
Yes.
Right?
My goodness.
Which was good.
It was intense here.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So where we're at, I mean, I think we can say it. It's okay.
Yeah.
We're in
my neighborhood.
We're in the Chevy Chase area.
Yes, we are.
I'm not going to say the street or give you the exact address. Although, we've given it to strangers of the past.
Yeah. Hard, but I do live in one of the neighborhoods that was the worst hit in Lexington. The Chevy Chase neighborhood was one of the worst hit. My street and neighboring streets was featured on national news several times. Mm-hmm. Because some of the most impressively horrible destruction of the cross line winds did happen right next to my house. My house, no damage. Thankfully, we had some debris in our yard. Apparently, someone's storm door. We weren't not sure where the storm door came from.
Oh, wow.
But we found a storm door that had gotten ripped off the hinges.
Oh, wow.
And then the glass had been shattered in our yard, and the door itself was stuck on our neighbor's roof.
Holy crap.
Kyle helped the neighbor, who is elderly, get that off their roof.
Yeah.
And then their door was also ripped off, so he helped them fix that with their storm door. Two different doors.
Yeah, and then that guy's, that UK student's car got crushed.
Like, down the street.
Right near where Sarah and I park.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of right there.
Also pretty close where you guys park, the lady's house got crushed by a tree. I believe her house is going to have to be condemned because of the significant damage that happened to the backside of her house.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And I might be getting this conflated, but I believe it might have been her house or one of the ones next to it. There was a person who got trapped inside their bed because whenever a tree fell, it fell on top of their roof.
I hadn't heard that.
Roof fell on top of them.
Oh, wow.
And they got trapped in their house. We heard this through neighbors.
Oh, okay.
Neighbors who knew this neighbor.
Yeah. Huh.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
The house just across from us, too, they had pretty bad damage to their roof. Their tree just completely took their front porch off.
To tell you the truth, I can't believe y'all didn't get anything. Just because you have two giant trees in your front yard that are very close to that. Like, they're close to the house, right? And then you've got these trees back in the backyard. They're not as big.
No.
They're not near as big. But the ones in the front are, like, basically pointed at the house.
Yeah, they are.
They're locked
They are. They are ready to go. Thankfully, the cross-lined winds would have probably pushed them over to the left.
Okay.
So maybe not smashing my house completely. Because that's the way the wind went, is it kind of went down my street basically and then into the other neighborhoods, other neighbors' backyards. But yeah, if those trees were to have gone, we would have had significant damage to the front of the house. We do get the trees serviced pretty frequently. So if you are, my dear listener, living in a neighborhood with old big trees, it is a good idea to get those routinely serviced by a licensed arborist to have the dead trimmed out and to check for, these are oak trees. They're susceptible to several different diseases. Yeah. Actually, it's the top.
Oh, really?
there's a top-down dyeing
that
some of them will get. You won't even notice because they're so tall. It starts at the very top, so you don't even notice that the top half of your tree is dead. And then it, wind comes and it blows, and then the top half of your tree just breaks off and smashes your house.
All right.
So definitely, dear listener, if you have great big trees near your home, get those routinely looked at by an arborist.
There you go. There's your GBS PSA of the day right there. Well, because we just, Sarah and I just experienced like the run-of-the-mill thunderstorm. I mean, there was wind and rain and lightning and that kind of stuff, but we didn't get anything. Because I, when I saw on Twitter that that this neighborhood had got hit where we are, I immediately texted Kyle and I was like, are you all okay?
Yeah,
because campus was pretty bad, too.
Yeah, speaking of that, I wanted to get your all's opinions on this, because we have to talk about this quickly, right?
Yes.
Because it went viral, it was everywhere for a couple of days. And so, yes, it was the video of the girl on campus who got blown back by the wind and the rain, falling down. Her backpack saved her, I think, from like hitting her head, which is good or whatever. Yeah. But because she was on her way to class. I don't know. I'm skeptical of everything on the internet, like everything. I'm not saying it wasn't real. And I know that there was a picture of her put on Instagram that somebody else put of her, and she had scraped her arm, and it was like, this is the girl and she's okay and everything, right?
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know. It's too many questionable variables for me.
Yeah, I heard too that, because people are like thinking that same thing you were thinking, because how are they set up already to video that? But people said that they heard it happening and that they had seen someone from like another window or something walking, and they all ran down to the front of the building and were screaming for her to run inside. And that's when like the wind picked her up, and that's why they had their phones out, because they were kind of seeing it happen somewhere else. But I mean, if it were me, one of the more studious people that doesn't like, I mean, I say this now, when I was 18 or 19, I skipped class a lot. But I would have probably been like, oh, I can't miss class. What if this is the day that they teach everything? So I probably would have been trying to, too. But I don't know. I probably would have, part of me thinks that, and the other part of me would have looked outside and gone, nope. We'll take the L for today.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, why would you look outside, see what's going on, and be like, uh-oh, better get to class?
Or, like, see no one else outside. Like, the university before that happened, like, I got an email from the university, and it was saying, it was from the police, and they were basically like, man, lay off these kids. If they don't come to class this morning, it's because they're afraid of the weather. Like the police were telling professors, don't mark them as absent or whatever. Don't get them in trouble because some crappy weather's coming this way. Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I wouldn't, I believed it less before that picture of her popped up on Snapchat or whatever. But who's to say if it's really her, though?
Again.
I mean, I don't, you can't see a face in the video.
Right.
It doesn't even, you can't tell
if she's male or, if they're male or female even in
exactly.
the video.
Exactly. Yeah. You just see like a body with a backpack on it.
Go whoop.
Just go, go whoop.
Well, and the whole, but the whole thing too is they walked, the people who filmed her were obviously in Whitehall Classroom Building. I think they were in Patterson. They might have been in Patterson.
Yes.
Office Tower.
That's a wind tunnel.
Well,
anyway.
And I was gonna point that out too. But the way they walked to the door and then just opened it, and then all of a sudden this girl comes across, and I'm like,
But if they had been going out there to yell for her to come inside.
Well, that's true.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I can see like that getting caught on video, but I don't know if that picture, if the picture and the video are the same person. That's
right.
That's the main part. See, that I'm like, I'm not sure about that.
Again, I'm not saying it didn't happen, because it did happen. Like, the thing happened, but I'm always skeptical of stuff like this being staged, right?
Maybe.
I think maybe they had like strings attached to her and they were just
But I will say, she chose a poor, if she was trying to get to class in that weather, she chose poorly on her route, because yes everybody knows, because that video was taken right next to the statue of Patterson, which is right in that Patterson office tower. And we all three people at this table know that even on a day like today where there is zero wind, you go up to that office tower and you will get blown off the face of the earth.
That's where your umbrella is getting
I lost many
That's where you're losing your umbrella.
It is a wind tunnel, and a half on a good day.
Yes.
Right? You'd always say, oh, and I don't know if the fountain, was the fountain still there, or had they taken the fountain out by the time y'all got there? Okay. So there used to be a fountain in front of POT.
Okay.
Like right in front there, you know what I'm talking about? So Whitehall's here and like the statue's here, and then I would consider like that the front, the front part that faces out towards kind of like the engineering building and all that. Anyway, there used to be a fountain there, and that was like a big meeting place for people because it was easy to say meet at the POT fountain. And you'd be standing there, and the water from the fountain would be whipping in your face because it was just always windy.
I don't remember a fountain.
Yeah, it
so
was.
That might have been gone by mid-aughts.
I think it was. They took it out. It was a useless fountain because it did. Just the water just like just spray out of it because it's so windy all the time up there. But anyway, if that is the girl in the picture, I am glad she's okay.
Yeah.
But again, I'm always skeptical of this kind of stuff. I got my tinfoil hat on, such.
I mean, you know. I wouldn't have let someone put my picture on the internet if it were me. Like, I would have been like, wow, that sucks. It was me. But like, I wouldn't have told anybody it was me. I'd have just like kept that on the low. But the fact that she let someone put that on the internet and that subsequently went extra viral, like, no, because I'm sure she was getting just made fun of left and right.
Oh, I would have been all about it. I've been like, yes, that is how dedicated of a student I am.
Right.
Look at me.
And somebody told me, or I heard somewhere, that I guess that the class that she was going to, like, you could, if you were absent one time, you got like a lost a letter grade or something.
Oh, wow, that's hard.
So, yeah, but again.
But also, I mean, students have to park so far away. It's possible that she had already been walking for quite a while.
That is true.
I mean, you know, she might have been en route whenever the weather started to turn.
But there's so many places to duck into.
Yeah.
On the route that she was on, she could have gone into POT, she could have gone in the Whitehall, she could have gone into the Student Center, she could have gone in the Anthropology Building, for crying out loud, or the Alumni Building.
There are a lot of buildings right
there.
There's
a lot of buildings over there. So that, I was like, but anyway, I'm not saying it wasn't real, but a lot of times things on the internet like that are staged.
That's
all I'm saying. It was a little. It was a little sus.
I don't know if that's still a cool term or not.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Either way. All right. Well, happy National Beer Day, I believe is what it is. According to Scott Watts, tagged us up. I think it's National Coffee Cake Day and National Beer Day. But I don't care about the coffee cakes as much as I care about the beer. Yes, it is National Beer Day. Hashtag National Beer Day.
And
National Coffee Cake Day. All right. So I guess then we got to figure out what we're drinking to de facto celebrate National Beer Day.
Let's see if Scott got his guesses right as to what we would be drinking.
Yes. And also, Sarah, I think you managed to save most of your beer.
Yes. I'm drinking apparently the world's most fizzy beer. This is from Gravely Brewing in Louisville. It's called Turn That Cherry Sour Ale. Sourcing an ancient strain of Montmorency cherries from Michigan, these naturally tart and subtly sweet cherries are often found in cherry pies. And now you'll find them in our terrifically tasty and completely crushable sour ale at 5.8%. It's got one of those little weird QR codes where if you scan it, it brings up a Spotify playlist. Oh. Or it's a song, not a whole playlist. But yeah, I don't normally have this issue opening beers, but and this one hadn't been shaken or anything. It literally just came from my fridge to the cup holder in my car to here, and it was like a volcano of eruption.
Yeah, and it just kept going.
And it kept going and going and going and going. I only lost like maybe 2 ounces or so, but
it just felt like it
for a long, long time.
That was canned under pressure, it seems.
Dun, 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 dun.
And then when I took a couple of drinks of it, I had the world's loudest burp. So if that continues, I'm sorry.
Yes.
It's very, very, very fizzy and carbonated.
Yeah, it's just almost like it got overly carbonated.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that happens to fruit beers because of the with the fruit and the gas and the fizz. Is that
because of the fruit science? Beer?
Yeah, science.
Yes.
And
there's extra science.
We had to use 2 consumption rags.
Yes.
To make sure that it was didn't get on the floor.
Yeah.
But
we did.
But you know what? I didn't move, which I think is the pro move, because people freak out and they start slinging it. And it didn't even, like, maybe two drops got on your table. But yeah. All of it was contained to the
consumption rags.
Yeah. Consumption yeah. rag into the whatever.
The coaster.
That's it.
The Bucky's coaster.
Bucky took the brunt of this one.
You did do a good job of containing it. And you did. You just sat there. You were like, not moving, not moving, not moving, not moving.
Yes. It'll stop eventually, I think, possibly.
Well done by all. Well, this one did not explode whenever I opened it, thankfully. But this is a sour rosé from Crooked Stave. They're out of Colorado. So this is a fruited sour. It's 4%. And it says that it's a sour ale fermented in oak with raspberries and blueberries. So other than that, not a whole lot of information on the can. It is a pretty pink can, though.
It's very springy.
Very springy.
And I feel like that is something that you would drink out at Keeneland.
Yes.
Yes.
This definitely has that Keeneland vibe to it.
Yes, it's got that Keeneland vibe to it.
Yep.
Yeah. Women in big hats.
Yes. Big hats and inappropriate shoes.
Yes. Uh-huh. And they are going to regret both of those choices later in the day.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So the Sharon beer today, it comes from a brewery in Norway. I'm not 100%. Did we decide maybe on what? Because there's Skyscraper, which I think is the name of the beer.
Skyscraper Red One
Quad. It's a quad, yeah.
And maybe the Nogni?
Nogna?
Nogna? Is that
Nogni? Nogni?
Nogni?
Nogni.
All right.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Anyway, it's Norwegian.
Or there's actually...
Yeah, there's a bunch of writing.
There's a bunch of words on here.
Yeah.
And we cannot read many of them.
No.
Shall I get the translator?
Yeah.
Well, it's in English at the bottom, so...
But, like, just which one of these words is the brewery word?
Because the ingredients are local water, malted barley, wheat, sugar, hops, and yeast.
How do you spell the name of that? Or this N-O?
It's...
In O with a little slash through
it's
it.
It's the slash O. Yeah, the line through the O or whatever.
It's very Scandinavian.
This is a quad. We haven't had quad in a long time.
No.
I saw this at Beer Trap and thought it looked interesting anyway. I always love a good import. This apparently was aged in oak Zinfandel barrels. So there you go.
Nice.
14%. So it's definitely a good Sharon beer for sure. But yeah, haven't had a barrel aged quad in a while. So, All right, the Stuart Rice Memorial Houndstooth Glass had one job last night. Failed to do it. Failed miserably. Boo, boo. We even tried at B Dubs to like rouse the troops with the playing of Dixieland Delight on the jukebox, and
couldn't
it just
do it.
Didn't work. And they lost to UConn. But, you know, they made it to the Final Four, which they'd never done before, so I guess good for them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And as promised last week, because Purdue did do us all a solid and beat Tennessee, and then they beat NC State last night, so it's Purdue and UConn in the final.
That's wild.
Which I think was pretty much kind of the scenario that everybody predicted.
Yeah.
You know, I don't... The game's on at like 9:30 tomorrow night, so probably not going to stay up and watch it. But as promised, I did bring the Purdue band beanie.
It's so tiny.
Right,
it looks like a child's beanie.
John's mom used to wear this in the Purdue band when she was in the Purdue band. It's got a little dude playing trombone. It says Purdue band on it, and
it looks like a big yarmulke.
Right. It does. My head's giant.
Yeah.
I have a giant head, so it doesn't fit on my head. Lauren managed to get it on her head. Okay.
Yeah, I can kind of force it down on
my head. Yeah, and you could do bobby pins on it or something to get it to stay.
You really have to have a tiny noggin
for this. Yes, so John's mother, I've never really like looked at her head, I guess.
I guess she has a small head.
I guess she has a really tiny head because she wore this.
Only those with a petite skull can wear that.
Yes, yeah. So, did you find it?
I did. Well, I found something interesting about it.
Oh, okay.
Untapped. It's no longer in production.
Oh.
And my friend Brett tried this 2 years ago and said it was sweet and fruity with a pleasant brown sugar aftertaste. Pick up on the Zinfandel before I knew it was aged in Zin barrels. So tilted a little more towards wine than quad flavor wise.
Okay.
Very good. So that's his assessment. But they no longer make it, which is why I was having
a
hard time.
So do we have a consensus as to what the brewery is actually called?
Nogni is.
It's Nogni?
Nogni.
Yeah. Nogna. Okay. And then Nogna. It has the other O behind Nogna. Oh, I don't know that part. Oh. But they have a buttload of beer. Oh. Like tons of beers on here. At least 50.
Wow.
So, well, good. Prolific.
Okay. Well, it's good to know. And it's interesting that Brett had it.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I can see if we can pronounce it here real quick.
Yes.
I am interested in the pronunciation.
Let's see. Pronunciation. Oh, it's pronounced near, near. The ear, like, with the IR, like in the word bird. Though it's not a hard R, it's soft. Oh, let's see. And then below it says, in Norwegian, the O slash is 100% consistently pronounced as as in us.
Okay.
No.
E is as E in edit, so Nugnia.
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 Nugnia. All right.
Nugnia.
Nugnia. Nugnia. Nugnia. Nugnia. Nugnia. Yeah. Nugnia. Okay. Nugnia. All right. Well, there you go. Well, they don't even make it anymore, so.
Yeah, so this is very vintage, out of production.
Yeah.
No wonder it was $13.
Right. I was getting ready to say, no wonder it was $13 for a bottle, but, you know, that's, it is what it is. All right. So back to the men's Final Four, and Purdue, the final game, mm-hmm. Purdue and UConn. I'm rooting for Purdue. I don't like Dan Hurley. I don't like UConn. I don't like UConn's fans. There, I said it.
I picked UConn to win in two of my three brackets, but they're also not going to win anything, so who cares? I hope they both lose.
And I know Zach Edey's getting on people's nerves, but, you know.
It's on mine.
It is what that is. I think part of that has to do, too, with media hype. When media hypes up people like that, I think it tends to turn, you know what I'm saying?
And it's hard to ignore someone
that's hard to live up to the hype.
7'2", well, or 7'5", or however tall he is.
It's kind of like, it's like,
interesting looking dude.
He is, but it's like when the media was all over Colorado at the beginning of the football season and like just pushing it in everybody's face. And yeah. You know, that I wouldn't have cared. I wouldn't have cared about it. I've been like, oh yeah, look, Colorado is kind of doing something. But once that media starts piling on and it's just everywhere, it's just constantly in your face 24 hours.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I hate this thing now.
Right.
Yeah. At least Purdue's living up to the hype though. Colorado, people were like, oh, he's going to take Colorado to the playoffs. Right. And then they only won 4 games all season. That's, and it was the first 4 games.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment. So I got to tell you what's in the glass. Glass, right?
Oh, yeah.
The glass of disappointment.
Yes.
So this is from, I just saw it. This is from Abomination Brewing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, out of North Haven, Connecticut there.
Oh.
And this is Gingerbread Fog. Double dry hopped because, you know.
That's how you do.
That's how I roll. IPA with spices. So I'm sure this was supposed to be for Christmas, but you know, here we are.
Well, you know, we didn't have Christmas weather on Christmas, and we had Christmas weather the other day.
That's
so,
true.
You know,
we have had snow in the last week.
Drink according to the weather.
Sure, yeah. Why not? Yeah. Tornadoes, hail, snow, sleet.
We have literally had all the weather, so why not have the beer?
That's what I'm talking about over here. But yeah, so I think the men's tournament has been serviceable. It's been fine. It's been an okay to watch. Sarah, I know you quit after Kentucky went out.
Yeah, so on day one.
right.
I watched the Final Four.
But you know, and we've watched it just because, I mean, it's there, right? You might as well.
Yeah.
But forget the men's tournament. The women's tournament
that's
where
been much more
at this year.
That is much more interesting.
Holy crap.
I've watched a lot of that.
Yeah. Like every game, even like, we're not even talking about LSU, Iowa, South Carolina. I'm not even talking about like UConn. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about like some of the earlier games. Like, it's just been good basketball all the way around through the whole entire tournament. And of course, I mean, the storylines have helped a ton, you know, with LSU and Kim Mulkey and Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark in Iowa. And then, you know, South Carolina, UConn trying to, you know, Paige Beckers coming back from a knee injury last year where she didn't play at all.
They got robbed.
I don't know. The women's tournament this year, I think, has captured the attention of people who normally do not watch basketball, women's sports, and even sports in general. I have friends, artsy friends, who do not care about sports. They are watching women's basketball this year.
Yeah.
Because the storylines are great. It's captivating. It's, you know, it's the thing to be watching, honestly.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you're 100% correct, Lauren. You make a really good point. I think it's great, and obviously it's done wonders for the sport this year.
Yes.
But I just worry about how many people after Caitlin Clark goes to the WNBA and these storylines. I mean, there'll be more storylines next year.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there's going to be a drop off.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It'll be, but it'll keep some people.
I hope so.
They've got up and coming stars too, like Juju Watkins and then that chick at Notre Dame. And
yeah.
They'll still have, LSU still has a couple. That Flajay Johnson's just
She's a sophomore.
Yeah. And then they've got a really like feisty freshman too. Yeah. So I think the storylines will keep coming along.
Well, and I think the basketball is going to keep coming along too.
Yeah.
Like, I think the game in general has just, and you know, there've been tons of great women's players over the years. Diane Taurasi and
Brianna Stewart.
Dawn Staley.
Yeah.
There's just throughout the course, Tamika Catchings, just great players. But I feel like now the game is getting even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just like how maybe like just high school basketball in Kentucky is getting better. Women's basketball all around. Like,
I think so.
The players are getting better.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they're being like coached up a lot more before they get to college. It's so like people are
putting effort in the women's programs. Yeah.
Except in the Elite Eight games last week in Portland, where one of the three-point lines was shorter than the other one.
Yeah. And then they played with it for one game because they didn't want to delay the game, and then the players got all disoriented. Because you get used to shooting from like one line, and then they were like,
Then you got to totally adjust your shot.
That's
and it's
so weird.
Yeah, it was. It was awful. It was a terrible mistake.
They've come a really long way from right before the pandemic when they did that thing where they showed like the men's facilities, facilities for the tournament, and they were like immaculate and huge and like the most state of the art thing. And then they showed the women's and they had got like three like
weights.
They've got like three bench press machines and like some little like 5 and 10 pound hand weights, and it was like, are you what? They both play a demanding sport where they have to work out. Come on.
So look, I mean, and look at the viewership. So. The Elite Eight game last week between LSU and Iowa drew 12.3 million viewers.
Yep. I believe it.
Iowa-UConn on Friday night drew 14.2 million viewers.
Oh, that's a great game, too.
And I saw on Twitter, it was like somebody had listed that it was more than a ton of different like sporting events. Like professional sporting events.
Yeah.
The viewership.
Men's professional.
Yeah, for real. Events. I can't imagine what the viewership for today's game is going to be. I mean, obviously, this podcast will drop on Tuesday and both the men's and women's tournaments will be over.
Yeah.
But because South Carolina's undefeated, right? And then Caitlin Clark. You know,
Caitlin Clark didn't even have a good game on Friday night. She's lucky that her teammate was having like a career level game. They would have got stomped by UConn, but that other girl kept them in it.
And it's going to be awesome, interesting with Iowa because, they have Caitlin Clark. They do have other good players around her, but South Carolina is next level. They have, Quesada? Camila Cardoza, and she's just, I mean, she'll eat your lunch and then eat your lunchbox and then go back for more.
Yeah,
she is just amazing underneath the basket.
Yeah, she's a beast.
I don't know how you stop her. I really don't, because she gets the ball and it's going in the hoop, period.
Nice.
Yeah, she's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Should be a good game to watch.
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
I'm going to run home and watch it after this.
So let me ask y'all this real quickly. So, you know, Caitlin Clark is obviously best player in college basketball, right? Broken all these records. Holds the NCAA scoring title between men's and women, men and women. Has broken all these records in this tournament. But what if she doesn't win the whole thing? Like, what's her legacy going to be if she doesn't win the whole thing?
Oh, I mean, I think she'll still be... I mean, she's still broken the records. She's still an amazing player. she's still, you know, drawn this crowd, this historic crowd for women's basketball. So I think, yeah, I mean, she's still going to have a legacy. But what a wonderful way to crown that legacy if she if they actually win. I mean, it's going to be, it's not really going to be anything, any loss, anything that they've already gotten,
mm-hmm.
but it's just going to be that much better if they do win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, in my opinion, to me, like, she's still probably the greatest women's player of this generation.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if she doesn't win, people will not take her seriously if she doesn't win this.
You don't think so?
I mean, I don't know. That's maybe too harsh. But, like, people won't say she's the best to ever do it if they don't win this championship today. Because they're already saying it.
Yeah, I mean.
But, no. I mean, it's. I don't think that. I just
right,
want to put
right.
that
you're,
I don't
you're
think
just
that,
saying what other people are
but
saying.
But, like,
yeah.
people in the media think yeah. that. So she has a lot of pressure on her.
It's almost like expectations for women are unreasonable.
Right?
What?
And I'm afraid, like, I mean. She's going to the WNBA, so she doesn't have to come back and deal with this. But I'm afraid that they'll what happened to Kentucky after 2015 might happen to them if they don't win this game, because that's when our program kind of started taking a nosedive.
Yeah, the men's.
It's
sure,
like you
yeah.
get up
yeah.
to the pinnacle, and when you don't hit the very tippy top, then where do you go? Like, what do
everything
you do?
Everything crumbles.
Like,
then
it starts falling apart. So I don't know. It's like a real touch and go. Situation. To me, I don't know what else she could do besides win a national championship. I don't personally think they're going to win, but I don't know. They all got to be having career games if they're going to beat South Carolina.
South Carolina's a buzzsaw. There's a reason South Carolina is 36 or 37 over. They're undefeated,
wow.
period.
They're, yeah.
Right? There's a reason they're undefeated.
That's scary.
Yeah. They're really good. And Dawn Staley is a good coach.
She's a fantastic coach.
She scares me, but she's a really good coach.
Oh, but I would love to play for her, though. Could you imagine playing for
her?
Oh,
my God.
And she just, like, goes to war for you and with you and, like,
yeah.
defends you and just the way... On the broadcast, they have, like, Aaliyah Boston, who played on that team last year and was the number one pick in the draft, and she was trying to talk to Dawn Staley about this team, and she was like, we're trying to win it for you. We didn't get you a national championship, and I just want to do this for you. And she's like, why are we talking about me? I don't play here. Like, we're talking about you. Like,
uh-huh.
like that's just the kind of coach she is, and I would love to have a coach like that. But the Iowa coach seems super cool, too. Like,
yeah, she's been around for a while.
Yeah,
she's Lisa been Luger. At Iowa. For a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I personally don't. She's the GOAT women's to me. You can't go through and break even like Pete Maravich's record and
right.
not be considered like the best women's basketball player to do or the
best
basketball
player
period.
In yeah.
college.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think she's cemented her legacy, but obviously, you know, it's like Dan Marino.
There'll be a cloud over
you
her
know,
head.
He was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Hall of Famer. So, but he was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Never won a Super Bowl.
But, I mean, everyone knows his name.
Exactly.
So, I mean.
So that's why I think, yes, obviously, to put the cherry on top, to put the cap on the career, yeah. you want to win it.
It is almost a Cinderella story in the fact that not because they're, like, a Cinderella
right.
team, but, like, this never happens.
Cinderella story out of nowhere.
You know, like, how often does someone come along and, like, break record after record? In the Elite Eight game, she broke, like, no, the one last weekend, maybe. One of these games recently, she broke two records in one game.
Yeah.
So, like, she's broken numerous records. I mean, that's definitely unforgettable. Just, like, to be able to put that cherry on top, that will probably never happen again.
No, probably not.
And if it does, it won't be, like, in our lifetime.
I was going to say, not in our lifetime. Yeah. Yeah, so I think she still gets credit for being one of the greatest to ever play the game in college.
Yeah.
For sure. But, yeah, I just don't see it. Now, the media will say it, but that's the media again.
Yeah.
You know, we just talked about how they have a tendency to hype people up and then end up making regular people turn on the people you're supposed to be
Which
liking,
is
right?
Which yes. why I, like, worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, if it hadn't been hyped up like that, then, yeah, if she didn't win, yeah, well, she ran into a buzzsaw. But, like, they hyped her up all season. It's all anyone ever talks about on the internet.
Yeah.
It's her and Zach Eady. Like, they never stop right. talking about either of them. She can't even go anywhere and, like, eat or go to class or anything.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, I got my opinions on Zach Eady in terms of performance and play. You know, is he 7'2"? He's 7'2". Like, I think he's 7'2". Wow. Last night against NC State, he brought the ball down to his waist more times than I could count. Had it stolen that way. When you're 7'2", that is a fundamental you learn in junior high school, is when you're that tall, you do not bring the ball down. He's still playing at Purdue and not in the NBA for a reason.
Yeah.
And that's about my personal opinion. That is my personal opinion on that.
And you know, it used to kill me because Oscar Tshiebwe used to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. He would get like way down low and then mm-hmm. he would get the ball right down to his feet and it would get swiped away.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
That drives me nuts. If you are over 7 foot tall, you have no business bringing the ball down from your head. Period.
Use your height.
Yeah. At all. And last night, Zach Eady was just like constantly bringing it down and getting it swatted or whatever. But anyway, the one other thing that I will say about women's basketball that we are very excited here in Lexington, because we got a new women's basketball coach.
He's bringing them.
That's already bringing in players from the transfer portal.
Wonderful.
And so I think it's gonna be fun.
Oh, I already put down a deposit for season tickets.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be. But I think we're gonna have fun women's basketball team.
Yeah.
Again.
Thank God.
It's been
too long.
Very good. Yeah. In the last couple of years, but that's neither here nor there. All right, before we get to the Sweet 16 of the Smarturama Futurama brackets,
nice.
I do have one RIP this week.
Oh no.
I was very sad to hear this because I did like him in various things. He's a funny actor, he's a funny guy. RIP to Joe Flaherty.
Yeah, the dad from Freaks and
Geeks. Yes, he was also in Happy Gilmore, but I remember him best from SCTV.
Oh, okay.
And because my dad absolutely loved SCTV, and he played, Joe Flaherty played a bunch of characters on SCTV, because, you know, John Candy and Eugene Levy and Rick Moranis, Dave Thomas, you know, that's where you get the, oh my God, now I just blanked on their names. The Great White North. Why am I blanking on their names? Strange Brew was the movie. The McKenzie brothers. Good Lord. But Joe Flaherty played Guy Caballero. That was one of his characters, right? And I loved Guy Caballero because he was like the station manager and he was in a wheelchair. He's in a wheelchair to get some respect. And I always thought that was funny. I don't know. It's like Homer saying he'd been using his legs like a sucker all those years. I don't know. Anyway, he's a good character actor. He was very funny. If you've never seen SCTV, I think you can watch episodes on YouTube, actually. They're out there. Highly recommend. It's really funny. It's got a lot of great people in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was also the dad in Freaks and Geeks, which that show got canceled way too soon.
It really did. That was a great show. Mm.
Yeah. You talk about getting canceled too soon. Yeah. But yeah, RIP to him. Thank you for your contribution to society. A lot of funny characters there. All right. It's now time for Sweet 16. We're a little bit behind everybody else, but that's okay, because that's how we roll over here.
Yeah.
Taking our
time. We do what we want.
That's right. We're taking our time on this. So, we're going back up to the top here, and we've got the pilot episode. So, that's
so
the
good.
One that establishes everything versus season 5, episode 11, which is 300 Big Boys. Which I don't remember the premise of that, so I'm going to have to look it up real
quick. They get a government refund or a rebate of $300.
Is that where Fry drinks 300 cups of coffee?
Yes. Oh, that's right. And then
he moves in fast or slow motion.
Yes.
Or fast motion, and the world around him moves in slow motion.
Yes, yeah. And he rescues everybody from the fire, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you got there? You want the pilot?
Oh, no. So I actually love both of these episodes. They're really great. But I'm going to have to go with the pilot just because that it's so, especially after you watch the whole series, there's so many wonderful Easter eggs that were laced in there from the very beginning. It shows you what a masterful series Futurama really was and what good writing it had in it. And plus, I mean, there's some hilarious stuff, just like the suicide booth and just meeting Bender, Leela first appearing, the professor, first meeting the professor. It's so good. So I have to go with the pilot.
Yeah, same. Pilot. Yeah, lots of good callbacks to the pilot. And then, is it, it's not the pilot, is it? No, it's not the pilot. It's when Fry's ex-girlfriend comes to the future and she's like freaked out by all the weird people. And then she sees Amy and she's like, oh, I'm Amy. And she's like, oh God, finally someone that's normal. I'm from Mars. No, I'll pick the pilot. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do. I like the fact that they set up so much. And like we talked about when we were first picking the pilot to go through, on the first, that first matchup, they do the setup. So, and they are so good. They were so good about when they set it up, they actually followed through with it and called back to it. Right. Mm-hmm. Which so many shows don't do.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many shows that will set something up and then abandon it.
Yeah,
and
like,
lost.
Lost, yeah.
Don't even get me started.
Or even, like, you know, shows that, like, end well, they still kind of change their ideas as the show progresses. Mm-hmm. But, like, Futurama was a really cool show in that they had, like, a vision for the whole series.
Sure, yeah. They had a vision for the universe that they created right up front.
And they saw it through.
Yeah, well, totally.
Mostly. They did tweak a few things.
Yeah.
But
because,
like,
I mean, and that, things always change from a pilot episode.
But, you know,
right?
I mean, the relationship between Fry and Leela that they clearly set up in the beginning, mm-hmm. they saw that through the relationship, like, and all the relationships they built. And still, though, even though it was like this great writing and this great like narrative that ran throughout the whole series, it still was really funny.
Yeah.
It's possible to have a show that does both.
What a concept.
Yeah, really.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up is Problem with Poplars. We all do love poplars. Versus When Aliens Attack. And that is the attack from Lure of Omicron. Percy 8 is precipitated by the loss of the television program.
Single female lawyer.
Yes.
Omicron Percy
8. Single female lawyer. All right. So, poplars or single female lawyer?
Man, that's a catchy song. And I was
singing. But so is a poplar song.
Yeah. I was singing that one after we figured out the words for it. You know, she's being self-reliant.
That's right.
Poplars, though, I think is more iconic. I feel like people remember poplars more. That's also a lure from the planet Omicron Percy. It is in both of them.
Yes.
So if you need your lure fix, you can see them both. But I'm going to pick poplars because you can pop them in your mouth.
Yes.
From Fishy Joe's.
When you eat at Fishy Joe's, what they're made of and where they come from, no one knows. Yeah, the poplars episode is so great. I do like the McNeil episode. And my favorite part
Give
of that
McNeil.
My favorite part of that episode is the trial, though, where like the hippie is there.
Yeah.
And they're like, you would sacrifice a moderately attractive ape to save a beautiful, or you would sacrifice a beautiful woman to save the life of a moderately attractive ape. It's so good. That whole trial at the end, I think, is the funniest part of that episode. But I mean, just poplars, the whole episode is great. And yeah, I think Lur really shines on that. It's great on both, but I'm going to have to go with poplars.
Yeah, I love both of these. And again, you cannot beat the fact that they recreated Single Female Lawyer and that Leela's got that eye taped on her. Like,
and then like, there she's in his eyes as the camera.
But her eye's like a googly eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, but poplars, man, you got to pop them. They're so poppable.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Don't eat me. All right, so poplars has gone through. All right, next, we've got The Luck of the Fryrish. Season 3, Episode 10, where Fry goes on a quest to recover his lucky seven-leaf clover after being convinced that his brother took over his identity after he was frozen. And that is going up against the Xmas story with Santa Claus and...
Yeah, Santa Claus is gunning you down.
Yeah, and actually, these are the ones that Kyle picked.
Yes.
Yeah, Kyle was on this when we picked this bottom.
Given
so,
my two
yes,
cents on
Lauren,
this.
You have not given your 2 cents on this. So you got Luck of the Fryrish or the Xmas story.
Oof. I think these are two very different episodes, because I think The Luck of the Friarish is one of those episodes that Futurama does, and they do it so well, where it's a funny episode, but it also is a little sad.
Yeah, it makes you cry.
Yeah, it makes you feel. It makes you, you know, feel ways about
screw
things.
Screw them for Jurassic Bark. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
And actually, I believe on this episode, at some point, Fry says, "I wish I was old enough to feel ways about things." And I say that all the time about feeling ways about things.
Fair.
So that is, it's got some of my favorite one-liners in it. And it's such a heart-rending story about, you know, he thinks his brother stole his identity, but really it's his brother named his son, Fry's nephew, after Fry and in his honor. And, you know, it was the nephew that carried on this legacy of the family, which is just so touching. The Xmas story, though, is another kind of episode that Futurama does wonderfully, which it's absolutely ridiculous.
Robot Santa.
Bonkers and just fast and just one silly thing after another in this like extreme kind of just weirdness, and it's delightful, and it has no bearing really on much of the rest of the story, which is great because Futurama can do both of these kind of episodes. But for this one, I think Luck of the Friarish maybe is not in my top of the episodes for those heart-melting episodes, but the Xmas story is definitely in my top for the weird episodes, so I'm going to go with Xmas story.
Ooh, okay, all right.
I'm going to go with Luck of the Friarish.
Oh, that's going to be put on me. So why are you going with Luck of the Friarish over the Xmas story?
The Xmas ones just didn't ever really resonate with me that much. I think because they're a little musical.
They are.
Yeah,
they're more like musical.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a good way to just send me to watching something else.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Okay.
And sometimes I like a sentimental, like, cry.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, and they're both great episodes, but I think if I got to be the tiebreaker on here, I'm going with Xmas.
That's my
Xmas story, because I love Robot Santa.
Robot
and he's
Santa
like so evil. And he's just like he's terrorizing New York. It's
and the fact that like Fry is all excited about it and everyone's like, "What? No, this
yeah.
is awful.
No, you have to get inside." And like they have the doors that come
the
down.
Blast shields.
Yeah, the blast shields that come down, and they're like, "No, you have to stay inside." And then Robot Santa comes flying through and just like,
so good.
It's really funny. All right. So, episode, let's see, season 2, episode 19, which is I got to get the exact title here, because the sheet would cut them off. Thank you, printer. I was doing fine until we got here. Mother's Day.
Oh.
That's when Mom of Mom's Robot Factory takes control of every robot on Earth. The only man who can save the planet is Professor Farnsworth. And that is going up against Season 3, Episode 9, Bird Bot.
Bird Bot.
Yes, which I may have had to abbreviate that title again because...
the Bird Bot of Alcatraz.
Yeah. Let me get that pulled
up. That the one where Bender is rooming with Clamps, I believe, in the prison?
That is the one where Bender becomes a penguin.
The Bird Bots of Icecatraz. Yeah, I had to...
Exxon Valdez.
Professor decides the ship has his cargo to outer reaches of space, but the ship travels through some environmentally sensitive areas, including the penguin refuge of Pluto.
Both are decent episodes. It's a hard one for me.
No, you know what? I lied. Hold on.
You're gonna say it's the day the Earth stood stupid, isn't it?
Yes. I misread my own sheet.
Okay.
Because I'm looking down and trying
makes
to
it
stay on mic.
For me,
yeah. The day the Earth stood stupid, season 3, episode 7, not Mother's Day, when flying grains invade, Fry is the only one who can save Earth from destruction.
Yeah, I'll pick that one.
Okay.
Yeah. That one's got a funnier premise, I think. Like, yeah, we all love Bender as a penguin, but the day the Earth stood stupid when he's missing the Delta wave that makes everyone else smart.
Because he did the nasty.
Yep. Yeah, in the past nastification. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, that was my fault in my shorthand. I got confused.
I always just think of him diving into Moby Dick, and then Leela dives in there with him, and she's like trying to hit on Queequeg. Like, oh, is there a Mrs. Queequeg?
That's so good.
So yeah, and they asked to write a book to sail up all the brains, and then they start getting really stupid because he has terrible grammar. Yeah,
spelling errors.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going the day that Earth stood stupid.
Yeah, I do I love it whenever Bender is, having to learn a lesson, and Bender has to, grow as a person, but then he, or a robot, but then he never really does. That's always good stuff, but it's got to be the day the Earth turned stupid. I mean, that's a big, that was part of the pilot. So yeah, definitely that one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're gonna stop there. We've got our Elite Eight for the left side of the bracket. We'll pick our Elite Eight for the right side of the bracket next week.
Ooh.
Yeah, some good episodes, I think. All right, well, that is going to take us in to Take It or Leave It. And let me tell you, I was on the struggle was real this week for topics.
Oh, no.
Like, I got a topic right out of the gate, on Monday, and I'm like, okay, we'd be rolling, right? And then I was like, okay, there's a topic I think I can use. Uh-oh. I need at least two more topics. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. It's because everybody's preoccupied with one thing right now. That is actually on the list, so don't say it, but I think that's why I haven't been getting and Monday was April Fool's Day, right, was April 1st, and so you can never believe all these stupid fake products that companies put out on it, and I'm like, fake, right?
Yeah.
I think 7-Eleven legitimately put out a line of new seltzers, and one of them was hot dog water flavor, and I was like, come on, that's
nice.
It was April Fool's joke, and I was just like, whatever. So I couldn't trust anything. It was hard to trust. But something that isn't fake, and this is actually really real. It exists. You can buy it. You could buy it right now if you wanted to and use it, I suppose. So, we've talked about flaccid cheese loaf a lot on this show.
Yes.
They've come out with nail polish. Remember that nail polish that smelled like Velveeta?
Nice.
Well, now they've just launched a new hair dye.
Oh.
Yes, Velveeta hair dye. It is not a joke.
Wow.
They launched it on April 1st for some reason, but it is a legit product that you can buy to dye your hair
Velveeta orange.
Yes, basically. Yeah. I don't think it smells like cheese.
I would hope not.
But it definitely, you could look like cheese.
You could look like cheese.
Yeah. Semi-permanent, so that's good.
If you live in Wisconsin, perhaps
maybe
want to do this.
Yeah,
yes.
Wait till the football season.
Yeah. So, Sarah, you taking or leaving this? Velveeta hair dye.
I'm leaving.
$7.50 a jar, which is
that's very suspicious. First of all,
microwave it first.
Oh, that's also the price of a Velveeta cheese loaf.
That's more shocking to me that a flaccid cheese loaf is $7.50.
Oh yeah.
Jesus.
Velveeta cheese loaf is a premium cheese item.
That's breaking the bank.
That was like luxury when I was a kid. My grandparents would always have one in their fridge, and I was like, ooh, it's the fancy log of cheese in the special Tupperware.
Well, it's just making me rethink making Rotel dip for the Derby party. It's going to be an expensive dish. Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm appalled by every facet of this. I hate Velveeta. The only acceptable way to eat the flaccid cheese loaf is in a dip. I hate their shells and cheese. It makes me want to no longer be here. It's awful. I do not dye my hair, and even if I did, I would spend a little bit more than $7.50 on the product, and I don't want to look like a flaccid cheese loaf. I have enough colors in my hair already naturally. I don't need to add whatever color that is called on the color wheel.
Yes. I too do not dye my hair, but if I did, it wouldn't be cheese colored. So I will be leaving this.
Yeah, I'm leaving this. This is unnecessary.
No, that's like, so gross.
Okay, are they not selling enough Velveeta like in the wild? Like their actual product. You know, I mean,
probably people got to make dip.
Like, yeah, right.
Yeah. How else are you gonna make
so you know? I have dyed my hair in the past. Everybody knows this. I would go do the semi permanent red, which was I always had fun
you
with
had
it.
Your Scully red,
yes, I had the Scully red. It was always fun. Although that semi permanent hair dye, like when you sweat, it drips everywhere. It's gross. But it was fun for a while. I haven't done that in a few years. The CFO was very good at dyeing my hair.
He's quite the stylist.
He is quite the stylist, even though he has no hair. He has no hair on his head. Yes, he does have a very, very nice beard. But either way, I'm leaving this. I don't understand the point of this. No. I don't get it. I just don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, Velveeta in fashion, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I don't know how much hair dye is supposed to cost, but I feel like...
Well, you know, you can get cheap out there, but, you know, if you want to...
get cheap results.
But exactly.
You get what you pay for.
You do get what you pay for, and if you really want to get your hair done, like, you know, who knows? This may fry your hair. Falls out. I mean, I don't know.
If the cheese costs more than the hair dye, I'm worried. I'm very worried for America.
Just use the cheese. Just use the cheese.
Melt the cheese product.
Just gloop in your hair.
Then you can dip on your own head.
There you go. It's a win-win.
Yeah,
it's like
you dip head.
It's like the nacho sombrero that Homer has,
where it's
got the cheese in the top of it, and he's just dipping.
Skip the hat part.
Yes, there you go. Okay, so we've talked on this program a lot about the new baseball foods that are coming out. You know, we had the White Sox s'mores campfire milkshake last week, and then Pittsburgh has put out this hot dog thing that's supposed to have a hot dog and pulled pork and I think pickles and pierogies on it or whatever. So, you know, all these baseball parks always come out with their own concoctions, right? Every year. But the Miami Marlins of baseball.
Yes.
Who aren't very good, but, you know, they still exist. They have an all-you-can-eat seats starting at $52. For your $52, included through the seventh inning, you get four items per trip, okay? So you can get, you go as many times as you want, you just get four items per trip through the seventh inning. Water, cookies, peanuts, popcorn, hot dogs, chili nachos, cheeseburgers, nachos with cheese, non-alcoholic beverages for $52, all you can eat.
Okay.
What do you think?
I mean, it's a good deal if, like, you were sitting with your whole family and you had, like, a bunch of kids or something you were trying to get snacks for. Kids eat a lot of snacks. So, not really a bad deal, honestly. Yeah, sure, I'll take it.
I'll probably leave it. I don't think I personally, as one person, would eat enough to justify that. I don't normally eat at games, and if I do, it's just like one hot dog and one beverage, and that certainly does not cost $52, although give it a couple of years, it probably will.
Depends on the ballpark, probably.
Yeah, but I bet if you were with a group of people, like you said, and one person got this, then, you know, that would be beneficial, but not just for me personally, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I think $52 is a good deal for all of that. Even if I was by myself, I think $52 is a good deal for that. Because, yes, you could get, like, two beers and two hot dogs for $52 at the ballpark. Now, this
but
is,
it doesn't say it
this
covers
is,
beer.
No, this is obviously non-alcoholic beverages. Yeah. But still, I mean,
still, though, if you're planning on having, like, a couple of hot dogs and some nachos, I mean, if you've got, like, a family of four... there, you know, you each get a hot dog.
Oh, for
you
sure.
Get, like, an order of nachos split.
Yeah.
You each have to get a drink.
Yep.
You know, and then you want something sweet, so you each get an ice cream.
Yeah.
Like, that already is over $52.
I just personally wouldn't want to get up that many times.
That's fair.
That is fair.
Now, see, I think that's
especially the
good point.
If you're
point.
Sitting in the middle of an aisle and you're having to get up every inning and go. Like,
oh, I would.
That would irk me. It does irk me so hard because there is someone that sits in my football section that does that.
I hate that.
And they never go the other way. They only come my way because I think they know it makes us all upset.
I always feel really bad about having to ask people to move and like walk over people's knees and stuff. Because of course Kyle is a very tall fellow, so I feel for him. He has to stand up.
Yeah.
He can't just scooch to the side. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, I do. I do agree. Okay, I'm going to take it because yes, if you were with a family, this is absolutely 100% worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's great. Good job, Marlins.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, so this is kind of late, but better late than never, I suppose. You know, Easter candy is on sale right now, I guess, so you can still find it. And maybe you can find these, or maybe just they'll come out with them next year and you can wait till next year. But I had this bookmarked, and this is something I didn't use, and I was like, oh, thank you, Jeebus, because I need another topic. Mm-hmm. So Brock's, and we've had Brock's the Thanksgiving, remember the Thanksgiving jelly beans,
we've
right?
Had their taco night. Uh-huh.
Yeah. A bunch of we have things. So they came out with a brunch Easter brunch jelly beans. Yes, they did. Let me tell you what you're getting with these. Six flavors. You got blueberry maple pancake, chocolate glazed donut, mimosa, caramel cold brew, cinnamon roll, and berry smoothie.
Yeah, those sound like delicious jelly bean flavors. I'm here for all those, and I do love a gourmet jelly bean. Not so much standard jelly beans, but a gourmet jelly bean is a delicious little treat. So totally taking this.
Oh yeah, I'll take these. They actually sound good. And there's nothing super gross in there to like throw you off.
Right.
No juicy pear. Trail.
Well, there's no like sausage savory. Yeah, I was expecting you to say an egg. And I apologize. I zoned out just a smidge the very beginning. I don't know. I guess a squirrel was running around somewhere.
It's okay.
But I didn't hear mention of an egg or a sausage or bacon.
No savory.
So all sweets.
They all seem safe for jelly beans. I'm down. I'm trying to try them. I'll take them.
Yeah, you know, I'm taking this because they didn't try to be gross, right? Yeah. They didn't try to do that. Slip that savory one in on you.
Because they do on the other ones. Yeah. Those taco ones.
Yeah. These actually, ones. They're all sweet. You know, you got your coffees, you got your pancakes, you got your syrups, you got your blueberries. You got all your waffle fixings.
It could probably even deal with the sausage or something to cut up all the sweet. But, you know, I'll still take it.
I'm taking this. I like it. I like the idea. And I like that they're calling them brunch jelly beans. And again, this stayed away from the savory.
Brunch beans.
Brunch beans. I like that. Brunch beans. Okay, finally. I don't know if you all knew. I don't know if y'all heard this. But there's going to be a solar eclipse on Monday, which is tomorrow, right? So it will already have happened once this podcast drops.
Well, hopefully we live to tell the
tale. If we're still here, because I'm just saying, if you believe in this kind of thing, and the fact that we got solar eclipse and we got cicada, two groups of cicadas coming, there was an earthquake in New York on Friday. I'm just saying. So,
it's Y2K level up here.
If we're still here,
yes,
and you're hearing this when I drop it on Tuesday morning, right?
If you're here to drop it.
Yeah, if I'm here to drop it, who knows?
It's true.
Anyway, solar eclipse is coming. It's going to traverse the United States of America from Texas all the way up into New York, right? Niagara Falls, I guess, is there's going to be this path.
That's cool.
It's on a trajectory.
Continent.
I think it's going to hit. Part of the western. What are we going to be like 93% here or something?
94
something like here in Lexington, which is pretty decent, right? There was one in 2016. It didn't do much for me, but anyway, the bottom line is my question to you all is: for take it or leave it, are you taking or are you leaving all the solar eclipse mania / hype?
Leaving that, I'm not. Obsessed with the solar eclipse like most other people. I mean, I get they happen and they're rare and that's cool, and I probably would look at I have the glasses I got from my employer that are the correct glasses.
I was going to say, because UK
my employer was handing out the right ones. I didn't go to the library.
I don't know.
I never go to a library.
Okay, Leslie. But I don't know what's going on over at UK libraries over there, but they put out a public service announcement
that
is legitimate.
It is
legitimate. Attention, for your safety,
do not
use the Eclipse glasses that were set out at UK Library Service desks.
UK yes. Healthcare has the legit ones with the correct ISO classification on them. Yes. I looked. We're good to go yeah. at the healthcare section.
But you're leaving all this hype mania.
Yeah, today. I mean, I may try to walk out because I have to go on site tomorrow. Which, you know, that's a whole other thing for my job. But maybe I'll peek outside and look at it with my approved glasses, not from the UK libraries. But yeah, I don't get it. And then the way that they market all these stories online, like they act like when they say stuff like people in these towns don't even leave your house, they make it sound like because the world's ending. No, because a bunch of like tourists. Crazy people and tourists. Are going to invade your town and make it a nightmare hellscape traffic for traffic.
Suck. Yeah, it's just about traffic.
Yeah, people are like, gas up now and get your groceries now because you'll starve for one day if you don't have these groceries.
It almost is like it's going to be a blizzard or something, right? Snow.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's stupid. This whole
follows
thing
standard stupid. Snow procedures for a solar eclipse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely.
So you're leaving. You're leaving all the hype mania. Okay.
Yeah, I'm leaving the hype too. I mean, I am taking the eclipse itself. It is a really cool phenomenon, a celestial phenomenon. We in my home, we love space. My daughter loves learning about space. Yeah. And we like talking about that kind of stuff. So I am all here and all about the eclipse itself. I am not here for the panic and the weird things. The occasional sun chip gimmick, notwithstanding.
Right, yeah.
I do like the sun
chip. That was
chip
a fun gimmick. I do, yeah.
I
but
yeah.
Other than a few fun gimmicks, I'm leaving it because it's a really cool natural phenomenon that we could just go outside and enjoy and then go back to our normally scheduled lives. Mm-hmm. You don't need to freak out about it, people. It happens a lot of the time, a lot around the world. Everyone survives it. Yeah. It's not like it never happens.
And it will happen again. They said the next one's in like the 2040s. Yeah, which is not that far.
Well, that's just in North America. In North America, it's going to be visible next time in 2044. But who knows around the world, right?
Right.
Because there's people who chase these things. There are solar mm-hmm. the eclipse chasers or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy, I guess, I saw that this is going to be his 13th eclipse or something, right? And he was going to, I think this dude was going to be on the airplane. Because there's a flight that you can take to see it from the air.
That might be cool.
And I mean, yeah, I'm all for people who want to do that. I think yeah. that's cool.
If that's your hobby, man.
If that's your thing, yeah. that's cool. Yeah,
but you're leaving all the hype.
I'm leaving.
You're
the
taking
hype.
The eclipse. Or
I'm
you're
taking the eclipse. Sure. All
yeah,
the way.
Same. I'll agree with Lauren.
A solar eclipse. The cosmic dance continues with the monorail episode.
Oh, yes.
Where Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
But you didn't do, my work here is done, but you didn't do anything, didn't I?
Didn't I?
It's too bad it won't be a total eclipse of the heart.
That's true.
That video freaked.
There's nothing you can do about that.
Okay, that video freaked me out growing up. Again, I was a scared child because all those people, those dudes, the guys or those schoolboys turn
yeah.
around with the eyes and they're glowing.
I don't think I've ever seen the video.
Oh, you've never seen the video?
I've heard the song at 100,000
okay.
times.
Okay, so can we just all agree, can we all take that the Bonnie Tyler version is better than the stupid remake?
Oh, I didn't even know there was a remake.
There's a remake out Ooh. There. Yeah, it's stupid.
I
yeah,
only ever think of that. I only think of the Bonnie Tyler version and the Dan Band or whatever, wherever they put the F word in it a bunch of times.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
That one is okay. pretty hilarious.
I'll
you got to check
that one out.
Well, I'm going to tell you again, the 2016 one. We all went out. I was at EKU. We all went outside. And I think we did the like looking at the pinhole thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm with you, Lauren. I mean, I guess I'm taking it for the kids and I'm taking it for Sylvia because this will be super cool for her.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
yeah.
into science and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, Carrie is going to be sitting in her chair where I always am. And I will probably look out my window and okay. see if it got any darker and then be like, ha, ha, ha. I started up both of my analog watches. I got them going again. So if the phones go out and people can't tell time and your stupid Apple watches go out, ha, ha, suckers, I'll still be able to tell time.
I mean, I'll be in a hospital full of analog cloth, so I think I'll be all right.
But either way, this is not... It's... Is it a once in a lifetime thing? No, it's not, right?
No.
It happens all around the world all the time. Maybe not, it might not be in your area. Check local listings, right? But it does happen on a kind of a semi-regular basis.
Yeah. And a very predictable basis.
Yeah, it's very predictable. Yeah. Right, obviously.
We know what the obviously is.
Right.
Hopefully we're all still here in 20 years to see the next one. So if you miss this one.
I don't know. I'm pushing. But anyway, okay, I'm leaving all this hype and all this stuff. Anyway, yeah. Okay, that's going to do it for this week's Take It or Leave It. So Sarah, besides the overcarbonation, what did you think of the Gravely?
Oh, the Gravely. Turn that cherry, the sour ale. It wasn't super sour, and it was vaguely cherry. I think they were touting too much cherry. Mm-hmm. It was fine. I mean, I don't know. I've had better cherry sours, I feel like,
okay.
And better sours. And, yeah, it exploded all over me, which I do not care for.
Hey-o.
So I don't want to say it's a miss, but it's not one of my favorites. I mean, I drank it all, but there wasn't, like, a ton of flavor there.
But
it was an easy drinker because there wasn't a lot of flavor.
Probably wouldn't go back.
Nah, probably not. Okay. It's a cool can.
I like the can.
Which is mostly why I picked it up, and I love cherry flavored things, but I'd rather just have a piece of cherry pie. It's actually making me want some of Missy's cherry pie, which I might have to get today.
Oh, well, speaking of, just a real quick plug for Missy's, for this month, their pie of the month is a Mae West pie, and if you've never had a Mae West pie, I highly recommend. It's a white chocolate derby pie, so if you're in the Lexington area, and you're at Ramsey's, or you want DoorDash, Missy's Pies, or whatever you want to do, highly, highly recommend, because they do not have the Mae West pie very often. And if you've never had it, it's flipping delicious.
Is that the one that has fudge in it?
No.
It's got okay. All the nuts I can't eat in it.
Yeah, oh, okay. It does.
Because I know they had a collaboration with Dollhouse Fudge.
Okay.
For one of their pies that was actually supposed to be really good. And then Dollhouse Fudge is, of course, right down the street from the studio.
Yes, it is. I don't think it was this one because okay. this is just one that I will tell this story very quickly, and I promise that then Lauren can review her rosé, her Crooked Stave rosé. But so this Mae West pie, they don't make it very often, right? And at Missy's. And so my friend, who at the time she was primary care, I was secondary care. Anyway, she wanted one for her birthday. So we got her one for her birthday. I had a piece left over in my refrigerator when we lived in that townhouse on Dabney.
Oh, yes.
One of our friends, Chris, stayed with us one night. I think he came down for a party and stayed over, right? As you would.
Responsible.
Yes, responsible. But he wasn't very responsible because I was saving that piece of pie and he got in the refrigerator in the middle of the night and flipping ate it and then didn't even remember it. And I was so mad because that pie is really good.
He wasted that pie.
He did. He totally wasted the pie. I was really angry.
Out of all the things he could have eaten.
Right?
Well, out of all the things I could have drank, I drank...
This was one of them.
The Crooked Stave Sour Rosé. And it promised sour ale fermented in oak with raspberries and blueberries. It was a sour ale. I tasted that. I tasted the oak. I did not taste any berries. This was berryless. And that made me very sad. So,
oh God,
it does make me
it was a little too sour as well. If you really enjoy just sour for sour's sake, maybe check this one out, but it was not quite my fave.
Wow, two berryless, fruitless beers over here. All right.
Yeah, I mean, there was a slight cherry flavor, but I would have wanted more personally.
That's fair.
Yeah. I wanted more berries.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, Lauren, it what was that 4.3% or something? Yeah. It was really light. So
light on the ABV, light on the flavor,
light on everything, right? And I like Crooked Stave. We've had stuff from them before.
Yeah. They have good stuff.
And Gravely's got good stuff too. Sometimes sometimes things are misses, but as always,
but also, we might have blown out palates.
That's true.
That's
Lauren's
true.
Sick,
so right? True. Yes, that is true.
She don't know.
And also, as we always like to say, your mileage may vary, so we always encourage people to try these things, because somebody else out there may have a different experience than we do.
Right.
No, absolutely not. And we're not on here to bash nobody either. No. It's just
we just got our own taste.
That's right. All right, so what did you all think of this red wine quadruple? I'm not even going to, from this Norwegian brewery, and this bottle doesn't even exist in anymore, so.
Yeah, they no longer make it. It's right. Vintage.
But what did you think?
It is very
money. You better have liked it for $13.
I liked it. I haven't had a lot of quads, so I don't know what I'm supposed to be tasting in quad form. Four of something, possibly.
Did you think Brett was correct on his assessment?
Yeah, I don't drink enough wine to just, like, pick up Zen flavors just, like, right off the bat. I'm more of a cab girl myself.
Me too, yeah.
But it does taste quite winey. It's wine. it tastes a lot of
winey.
And it's a smidge hot, like, on the back end.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I like it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to finish it. Don't worry.
That's okay. I mean,
I'll finish the $13 part.
You better.
Yeah. I also tasted the wininess. I tasted the, it kind of had that like that juicy kind of fruity almost sort of taste in it. And it definitely had that oaky kind of taste as well.
Yeah.
But the quad, I think, kind of balanced out that oaky flavor with a little bit of sweetness. It was quite heavy of a beer. So yeah, if you're going to drink this, it's a good sharer because it's kind of heavy and it's a little boozy.
Yeah.
But I think that the sweetness of the quad pairs really well with the style of beer this is, with the oak aged or the barrel aged. And I quite enjoyed it. I don't know if $13 worth of enjoyment, but it's pretty good. It's a rare beer, y'all. Yeah. It's going extinct.
I mean, now that you say the oak part, I do get like oak notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Old oak notes off of it. But yeah, it's fine. Maybe once you talk about it, what you thought of it, you can tell me what a quad is supposed to taste like.
So, it depends.
They're usually kind of sweet.
Quads can be super sweet. They can be super malty. They can be super boozy.
Caramely.
Right, caramely. Yeah. But this was really well balanced, especially for 14%.
Yes.
I was pretty impressed. I did get some wininess off of it. I did get that oak. I did get sweet, but not oversweet. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can have like a banana-y smell to them.
Yes.
And this did not have that. At least I didn't get it.
No.
I thought it was super, super well balanced for a quad.
It does smell malty, though.
I think that the wininess of it did kind of tamp down that like quad.
Yeah.
Like that overly sweet, overly banana kind of thing.
I actually think it was smart of them to age it in Zinfandel barrels instead of like a red wine type barrel.
Yes.
Because I think Zinfandel, since it's a lighter wine, mm-hmm. can take out some of that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I think the tannins would have been weird.
Would have been weird.
With the quad.
I agree. Yeah. So it really, for... actually it's a really good example of a quad. Like
it really is.
It really is. And it's
like it.
Kind of sad, to be honest with you, they don't make it anymore.
We'll have to check out other things from this strange Norwegian brewery.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back to Total Wine like this week or so at some, because I'm running low.
Oh, same here.
Yeah.
All right. So the Abomination Brewing's Gingerbread Fog, double dry hop, double India pale ale with spices. Not a ton of spices on this.
Probably
was good.
Better.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was still too sticky. It's too sticky.
Oh.
I don't like that. Quit doing that with these double dry hops. You know, I want a clean double dry hop.
Yeah.
You know, it was good. I got a little bit of spice, not a lot. So that was welcome. That was nice. I liked it, but it's just got that you just get that stickiness.
Weird.
Yeah. Which I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah.
But at least it didn't smell like BO. So we'll take
it. That's true. That's that double dry hop magic.
That is that double dry hop magic, yo.
Yep.
All right. You know what is also magic?
What?
Hungry in Kentucky.
Oh, yes.
It's magic.
Mm-hmm. We have one coming up this week, actually. So if you want to see what we're talking about, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at HungryKY. You can shoot me an email, HungryKY@gmail.com. And then you can find our show every other Wednesday, wherever you find podcasts.
All right. Absolutely. And it should be a fun show. We got a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of food adventures since the last show,
nice.
But separately.
Yes. Yeah. We haven't had
solo
any together.
No.
In a while, we had separate food adventures.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh. Teaser.
Separate food adventures.
Wearing shorty skirts.
That's right. Eating all the food. So, Lauren, thanks for hanging in. I really, really, really appreciate that.
I made it.
You did make it. Really appreciate it. Your ASMR NPR. And finally, you there at the end, you really, Barb. Yeah. Barb, finally.
My voice is running out, as you can tell, dear listener. Yeah, but thank you.
Terry Gross
for hanging in there.
Yeah. Thank you for hanging in there. We always appreciate you. And as always, we always appreciate everybody who listens. Thank you so much. You can find us on the Twix at GRLS Beer Sports. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We are on the Fired Up Network. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Amazon. We're on iHeartRadio. We are everywhere. Good podcasts are free. And we will see you next week. See ya!
Bye!
Sultry.